Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Father God, you're wonderful, you're amazing, you're awesome, you're all of those things. Father, you are the first and the last, you are the Alpha, the Omega, you were before all things and you will be after all things. And Lord God, in that massiveness, you chose to send your Son, your only begotten Son, so that I could have a reconnection with you. Father, I don't understand your wisdom, and I thank you that I don't have to. But what I can do is accept the love that you poured out. Jesus, today is a celebration all about you. It's a celebration that we don't serve a dead God. Every other false religion, their leaders, their gods, their deity has died. But we serve a God who is alive forevermore. So Jesus, today, be glorified. Holy Spirit, I continue to pray that you touch hearts this morning. Touch open hearts. Lord God, help us to humble ourselves before you. Holy Spirit, allow me to speak only those things which you would have me to speak, and shut my mouth with anything else, because I don't want to talk about anything else. I only want to talk about my Savior King, my glorious Jesus. And Holy Spirit, don't let anybody leave here today. Don't let anybody exit the building. Don't let anybody climb into their cars. Don't let anybody leave the parking lot today the same way that they came in. Because you are a God of action. And we trust you with that. Lord God, we're excited today. We're excited. Show yourself to each one of us with this. I pray it in the mighty and powerful and amazing, awesome name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And everyone shout it out. Amen. You guys can be seated. Wow. Anybody else worn out? Or are you just getting ready to go? I hate it on one hand when Jen just picks these amazingly huge songs because it fries my voice. And then I get to get up here and rely on God that my voice doesn't go all the way. Thank you, worship team. Hey, if you're visiting today, I'll be honest with you. Maybe you're going like, what was that? But maybe you grew up in a church. Maybe you've never been to church and you've never experienced worship quite like this. I would invite you to search the scriptures and do a study on what worship is supposed to be. Right. Because sometimes in our man-made ideologies, we keyhole God and put him in this little box and we say, well, the pastor or the priest said, this is what worship is supposed to look like. And anything else is wrong. And I would challenge you what worship truly is. And the Bible calls us to worship in spirit and in truth, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that is what we experienced this morning. So today is a day that we get out of our boxes in so many ways. And I want to challenge you in that. I also just want to thank you once again for choosing to be here. And that was a choice each one of you made. And I thank you for that. Let's look into some scripture right off the bat. Let's look at Luke 24, 5 through 7. Listen to this. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day, rise. Oh, what a day. What a day to be in the house of the Lord. What a day to be gathered with the body of believers. If you have come here today seeking the dead, you won't find him here.
That's right.
Because Jesus is risen, he is alive, and he is on the throne. What a day! What a day to be in the house of the Lord. Today, this morning, we, the church, are celebrating Christ, our risen Savior. And in so doing, we are living out and we are proclaiming the hope of the world. See, there's only one hope for this world. It's not politicians. It's not finances. It's not social justice warriors who want to save the planet. That's false hope. There's only one true hope, and that is only found in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. My heart this morning is joyous that you have made the choice to be here this morning. If you were here Friday night as we celebrated, or observed, I should say, the Good Friday, the crucifixion, you know that we looked at the events that actually led up to the crucifixion. And we in so many ways experienced the death of Jesus. For me, it's always a very emotional and impactful time when we actually read and study and experience the death of Jesus, how it transpired, what he went through. And it was because of my sin. How can I not get emotional? How can I not get impacted? It's in these times we focus on the cross and those last hours of Christ's earthly life. Each and every one of us are faced with our own mortality. Our days are numbered. Doesn't matter how old you are. Young people think they're invincible. They're reckless in many ways. The older you get, the more you understand you're not invincible, that joints don't work as good as they once did, hearts don't work as good as they once did. But when we look at Christ and the cross, we have to come face to face with life and death in a very personal way. And in that, each one of us are faced with a choice. Let me start out by saying this. If you came here today out of tradition, if you are here out of obligation, if this is simply a family thing, I invite and encourage you to make it so much more. Because today we celebrate our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's all about him, guys. It's all about, you're not gonna find me up here talking about anything but my Jesus. You can make suggestions. Hey, Pastor, why don't you talk about this? If you know me, you know how well I take suggestions. Because nothing gets in between me and my Jesus. And my Jesus and you guys. Today we embrace life. His life, his everlasting life. Today we proclaim the Christ that he conquered death once and for all. Once and for all. Today we rejoice that through his sacrifice and his glorious resurrection, we too can have eternal life. Because of his death, we don't have to be confined to death. And because of his life, we can live. That's good news. That's good. We should rejoice in that. Right now, today, this week, we can live a life of hope, truth, love, and faith. Let's look at some more scripture. In your Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you, I would invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, 1 and 2 says this. Now, after the Sabbath, which would have been Saturday, right, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone, and he sat on it. Another earthquake. Here we're finding another earthquake, the second earthquake in just a few days. See, the first one occurred, the first earthquake happened when Jesus died upon the cross. And now we have one on the glorious resurrection morning. Remember, we're coming out of the Sabbath. Saturday being the Sabbath. So now we are on to the morning. The glorious morning of the first day of the week, or Sunday morning. See, the sun is rising that early in the morning. The sun is just coming up, and the two Marys are making their way to the tomb, and suddenly the ground shakes, and an angel is there sitting upon the stone, this massive stone, the stone that you just don't roll away. But it had been rolled away, and the stone, it had broken the seal. It had broken the seal of the burial tomb that they put the dead Jesus in. Because they thought, okay, Jesus is dead. What do we do now? They place him in a tomb that was already made. They put the stone. The Jews wanted it sealed so no one would tamper with it. It was tied with ropes. It was wax on there so you could see if it had been broken or not. Well, let me tell you this. It was broken. It was completely broken. Now look at Matthew 28, 3 through 6. His appearance was like lightning, speaking of the angel, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." And he said, "Come see the place where he lay." I'm going to give you proof. I'm going to show you that he is not here. I'm going to show you where he was, but he isn't there anymore. See, you know what's going on right here? You know what's going on right now? The supernatural is colliding with the natural. And what we see is that the natural willingly yields to the power of God. The announcement that Jesus is not in the tomb crashed upon the shores of mankind with power and love in those morning hours some 2,000 years ago. And with this wonderful, beautiful, history-changing announcement, everything from that point on until right now, this millisecond that we're living in right now, it's completely different. Jesus changed everything.
That's right.
Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came into this world in human form. The one who spoke everything into existence was literally removed. He removed himself from above and he came down to live and to walk with his creation. Not only that, but because of his Father's will, he became the only hope for sinful man by way of his sacrificial death. Because Jesus chose to become the atoning blood sacrifice, we too can choose to receive forgiveness and redemption from our sins and our death sentence. Anybody in here live a sinful life? Anybody in here live a sinful morning? Yeah. Anybody eat too much? Good. That's a good one. We want all that food gone. But because of Jesus and our propensity to sin, that's saying it lightly, we can accept his sacrifice. And it's a glorious thing. See, that's amazing news. And that's the good news of the gospel. What we celebrate today is the fact that Jesus is not still on the cross, nor is he in the tomb, because death could not confine him. We celebrate that Jesus is alive forevermore and that he wants to pass that life on to each one of us. I want you guys to understand that. I want you guys to accept that. I want you guys to open your heart to this idea that because Jesus died on the cross and rose on the third day, that he's knocking on your door. And whatever you're going through, whatever lifestyle you're living at this moment, there's forgiveness and there's acceptance through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, this is important for me to say this morning as well as every Sunday morning, because I don't want to mislead anyone here, and I refuse to misrepresent the truth of the gospel. This morning, my desire is to speak truth with love. My hope is that you will be open enough to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. So please hear me when I say, there is no in-between. There is no gray areas. There is no kind of Christianity when it comes to the truth of Scripture. I know that's a controversial message in the day and age that we live in, because so many people want to live in the kind of Christianity. The Father calls us to life through the death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ, period. The only way to the Father, to eternal life in heaven, is through the Son. And there is only life in the presence of the Father, period. Therefore, everything else is death. Isn't that narrow-minded? Well, if the truth of the Scripture is narrow-minded, then I'm good with being narrow-minded. You see, you can't kind of be a Christian.
That's right.
You are born again through Jesus Christ, or you are not. Two options. You can't sometimes love Jesus and sometimes live in the world. So many people want to dabble in both. They want to ride the fence. They want to be a Christian on Sunday, but something very different on Friday night. They want to be a Christian when we worship, but something very different in the workplace. So you can't sometimes love Jesus and sometimes live in the world. And really, honestly, why would we want to? Because when you experience Jesus, when you truly experience Jesus, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Is it a chore to read Scripture? Absolutely not. It's amazing. It's the bread of life. It's exciting. Is it a chore to pray? No. It's conversation with my Lord and Savior. It's a deep relationship. Isn't it a chore to have to go to church on Sunday mornings? No. We love going to church on Sunday mornings. It's worshiping God with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't it a chore to follow all those rules? No, because rules are religion. And Jesus is relationship. If I try to follow rules, I'm going to fail. But if I'm in relationship with Jesus, I'm going to naturally not want to do those things. It's amazing. So what are we to do? What are we to do? We can accept Christ and live for Him, or we can embrace the world and all its perceived pleasures. Those are our two choices. Those are both viable choices, aren't they? We can pursue righteousness, hope, stability, truth, and love. Or we can run after sin and self-satisfaction and lusts and the chaos of this crazy life. Look at your life right now. Figure out what you want and make a choice.
Yeah.
I'm not beating nobody on the head this morning with the Bible. I'm not going to allow you not to leave until you accept Jesus. I'm saying, look at your life. Look at your life. Truly look at it. Weigh everything out and figure out what you want and then make that choice. See, if you choose to reject Christ, you choose to reject His sacrifice as well as His life. And if that is your choice, go Go take advantage of that choice. Go out there. Grab hold of this life, because this life is limited. You have a limited time here on earth. So if you refuse Jesus, go out and do it. Live for this world. Because that's all you get. That's it. Until you enter into an eternal separation from Jesus. But on the other hand, because a lot of you are out there saying, "Man, that ain't me. I want to wait for the other hand." Well, on the other hand, if you do choose to accept Christ, if you choose to embrace His sacrifice as well as His life, then actually live your life like you truly believe and you have fully accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. See, it's either or. It's either or. I have two questions today. I have two questions that will 100% encompass every single person in here this morning. Well, how can you do that, Pastor? You don't know every one of us. You don't know me. You don't know. But I have two questions that's going to encompass every single person. So despite why you came here today, because it doesn't matter the reason, what now matters is how you choose to answer either one of these questions. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready? Because here they are. Here they are. Is your belief in yourself in this world enough to forego the possibility that Jesus died and rose for you? In your belief in Christ, is it enough to boldly live your life in contrast to what this world and in recognition of your Lord and Savior? Will you live a life that is visible and viable in the presence of Jesus Christ? It's one of those two questions, isn't it? Now remember, there is no in-between. There are no gray areas. There is no kind of Christianity. Look at how the Apostle Paul speaks of the resurrection. Look at how we have an important relationship with the resurrection. It's found in 1 Corinthians 15. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most of all to be pitied. I ask you, where is the in-between? Where is the gray area in that? Where is the kind of pseudo-Christianity that we so love to embrace because it makes us feel good about ourselves? See, if there is no resurrection, then there's no hope. Not for ourselves or any of our loved ones who have died before us. It's utter hopelessness. And not only that, everything said here today, as well as your faith, it's frivolous. It's empty. It's pointless. And then Paul makes this monumental statement here. If we believe in Christ only for this life that we live right now, then he says we are people to be pitied. See, it can never be just the cross. It always has to be the cross and the resurrection. I was reading that, and I mean, in context with what Paul is writing and who he's writing to, it made sense because there were those that denied the resurrection, but they accepted that Christ lived and died, but no resurrection. And then as I was reading that, I thought, that's odd for us today, right? Right now, that's odd for us today. Because I would guess for us today, we generally look at it in the opposite way, don't we? See, we want the resurrection. We want this idea of eternal life without the crucifixion. We want the idea of God and heaven apart from the person of Jesus, his sacrificial blood, and the forgiveness of sin. We want reward without repentance. That's truth and love right there. We want reward without repentance. Because everybody wants to go to heaven. Not everybody wants the Savior to embrace him and to build a relationship with him. See, that's a very popular ideology right now. It's this universal idea that everyone ends up in heaven because God is a loving God with no cost to my current lifestyle or my sin. But remember what Jesus said in John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And here's something else that Jesus said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Over the past, more than weeks, over the past few months, as I was thinking about and really praying about this Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday, I feel like the Holy Spirit really showed me some things. And it's awesome when the Holy Spirit shows you stuff. And I get excited because I'm like, oh, Holy Spirit, you showed me that. That was awesome. And then the Holy Spirit says, yeah, but it's not just for you. That's why I love being a pastor. There's nothing like preaching, right? Because God gives to me, and then I get to give out to you guys. And then you guys get to make a choice. Oh, I'll take that. Or I'll take that home and I'll study it. Or I'll just dump that right here and now. Honestly, I don't care. Because I'm doing my job. I'm receiving from the Holy Spirit. I'm giving to you. Once I pass it to you, no longer my concern. Now, I'm concerned about each one of you, but how you receive the message, that's up to you, because we're big boys and girls in here. So over the past few weeks, as I was thinking and praying, Holy Spirit took me into a really, really cool place. And they relate to us so very well. Because really today, this morning, is about the choice of life and death, death and life. See, on one side we have a life, which includes things that really we can't see and they're hard to describe, right? And those are things like faith and hope and truth and joy. Now, don't get joy mixed up with happiness. Happiness is an emotional state that is fleeting. But joy is the everlasting joy of the Lord. And true love, the true love of the Father made manifest through the Son and by way of the Holy Spirit. You can't really describe those things, and you can't see those things. Those are just those things that are within us. But it also includes things that we cannot see. Things like the beauty of God's creation. That's beautiful. Isn't that what? That's up in Glacier. That's amazing. You're trying to tell me that just happened by chance? Right? That's the evolutionary process at work right there. And here's the deal. Even if that's the evolutionary process, what is it within me that recognizes that as beautiful? That isn't evolution. According to evolution, that's a waste of time. That's dumb. That's stupid. I need to devote my brain into feeding myself and having babies. That's all evolution is all about, right? There's nothing else. But I see beauty in that because that's God's creation. And he put within me the ability to recognize and admire God's creation. Look at this one. Ooh. Ooh. Anybody else have to scrape their windshields this morning? As much as those mountains look so wonderful, I like seeing those in summer. In the coming out of winter, that looks pretty good. What about that? Isn't that wonderful and beautiful? It's ferocious. It can eat us. But man, you ought to be able to see God's creation in that magnificent creature. What else is there? Ooh, how many of you guys like zebras? It's like God says, you know what? I love horses, but I'm going to do something a little different here. And he made the zebra, and look at that. Look at the stripes. And did you know no two zebras have the same stripes? It's like our fingerprints. They're all different. That's not evolution. That's God being creative. What else is there? Ooh, the peacock. I'm a fly fisher, right? Peacocks are extremely important when you tie flies. And I see the beauty in that. But I also look at that bird and think, why? Why does he need that many colors? Because God said, I'm going to make him with that many colors. And I'm going to give my creation, mankind, something to look at and enjoy. What else is there? Oh, look at all the kids. Look at all the colors. Aren't you glad we don't serve a boring God? That is amazing. Look at the smiles. How can that not melt your heart? What next? Ooh. How many of you guys in here are married? How many of you guys remember your wedding day? It was joyous, right? It was awesome. That's marriage. That's marriage between a man and a woman. It's God, as God intended, it's God ordained, and it's a wonderful day, and that's love. And that love and that connection and that marriage testifies to God's order and God's plan. See, marriage is not man's idea. Go back to that marriage. Marriage is not man's idea. Marriage is God's idea because we are the bride of Christ. It's amazing. Go ahead and flip that. Now we got this one. Oh, life. Life. The creation of life. God ordained creation of life. How do you like that fetus? It ain't a fetus. That's God's creation. That's a human. That's a little being. That is life right there. How glorious is that? What else? What a perspective that. Wait a second. God created all of that. And then he created me. Look how wonderful and huge and amazing and perfect that is. In order, right? Gravitational poles. All of those different things. Space, area. It's all just right there. It's beautiful. But as much as God's amazing power is on hand there, it's also with that little embryo, isn't it? What else? Oh, God's word. God's word. God gave us his word. God thought it. Jesus spoke it. The Holy Spirit inspired man to write it down. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It's God's creation, and it's great. See, this, in its essence, is creation, and it is beautiful. And it's testifying to the glory of God, and that's even after the fall of man. It's all about life, right? It's all about life. Now, on the other side, there is only death, which also includes things that we cannot see. Things like fear, insecurities, hate, malice, pride, lust, despair. But on that side, it also includes things that we can see. And it's the ugliness of sin and the sin stain. Things like, what'd she do to deserve that? She's living in a war zone. Probably all she has is that teddy bear. Look at the ruin behind her. It's man's conflict outside of the hope in Jesus. No little person should have to grow up like that. What else? Not easy to look at, is it? Addiction, drugs. See, people, there's an inherency built within us that we want more than what we can see. And addiction is the greatest counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. Because I guarantee you, if this young lady encounters the Holy Spirit, she's not going to try to find relief and joy and happiness in that syringe. That's ugly. It's nasty, and our heart goes out to her because there's not much left for her. What else? We got mental, like, so much mental illness today, so much that's attributed to mental illness today, but that's a separation, right? She's lonely. She doesn't know what's going on. She won't even show her face, right? It's the result of this sinful world. What else? Hate. You know what really makes me the most mad about this? I bet you can guess. What's on his pajamas? It's a cross. They set themselves up under God. I'm telling you what, this represents false religion. And there's a whole lot of false religions that go against the truth of the Scripture out now. There's so many cults. There's so many. I mean, there's churches out there this morning that are preaching the false message of Jesus Christ. And they're causing division in people. And they're separating people from God's truth. And that makes me angry. They're so cowardly, they won't even show their face. That's sin. That's sin right there. What else? We got to have the money. We like the money. I just need to go out there and I need to earn lots of money, because if I earn lots of money, that becomes who I am, and I'm successful, and money's going to make me happy because I'm going to be able to do whatever I want. If I only had more money, more money. False idol right there is money. He got duped by the enemy, thinking that the value of his life was based on his bank account. That's a lie. Lie from the pit of hell. What else? That's a bad one, isn't it? Getting to the point in your life where you are so hopeless that you would consider ending the life that God gave to you. That's the enemy at work right there. His voice is his nagging little voice, trying to convince people that they would be better off dead. Sin stain. It's the sin stain. What else? Hitler. His attack on both the Jews and the Christians, trying to set himself up as a false Messiah. Again, we can't say that happened once. It's happening all the time. People that are trying to arise in power, they're trying to charismatically get people to follow them, but it's false. It's lies. It's the lies of the enemy. It's death. What else? Violence. Hatred. You know, most violence and hatred, where they eventually end up, pornography. You know where pornography always ends up? Child sacrifice. Look into it. It's just what it is. Fear in the child's eyes, because he's afraid he did something wrong. No parents to treat their child like that, because our Heavenly Father would never treat us like that. That's death. That's despair. That's the sinful nature of man. What else? I'm not going to beat around the bush. That's wrong. That's demonic. Transgenderism, it's idolatry. It's the highest form of idolatry. Deciding that you are the one that can choose to be a boy or girl when God already ordained and chose for you. That's saying that you are equal with God in his abilities and his intellect. It's not true. And the fact that they prey on young children, it's disgusting. It's the disgustingness of sin. What else? Oh, here's a great one. It's the opposite of our embryo. Because to them, it's just a fetus. Because abortion is my human right. We are to stand for the unborn. We are to stand for the weak. We are to stand for the children. Because that one literally ends in death. The stench of death is all over that. I think that's it, isn't it? Life or death, guys. Life or death. Which will you choose? Life or death? Today is a day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today is a day that we proclaim life over death. Today is a day we choose righteousness over sin. Today is a day that we profess hope over fear. Today is a day that we see the sunrise bring light into the darkness. Today is a day that we announce Christ our King, our Savior, our Lord. I say that today is a day because as a born-again Christian, every day is like today. See, it is God's intention that the church, us, the body of Christ, meet together more than just today. So though today is a great and powerful day to celebrate the resurrection, we are to be living out the resurrection in our life. One important way to do that is to gather together weekly, in fact. How many of you guys will be here next Sunday? I don't know. I can't answer that because that is your choice. Now this morning we're gonna end this service by taking communion. Communion testifies to the sacrificial death as well as the resurrection life of Christ. It reminds us to be looking forward to his return, ready and waiting. And communion is also for the community of believers. We proclaim and celebrate together. Let me give you some insight and instruction on how we partake in communion here at Bridge Assembly. See, the biblical requirement in taking communion is that you are a professing believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to be a regular attender here. You don't have to be a member here. You didn't have to go through classes. You don't have to do any of that. But what you have to be is a professing believer that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Not kinda. Not mostly. Not just for today. But a true believer. If that is you here this morning, please join us, the body of Christ, in celebration of Jesus. And if you're sitting there right now, something's going on in your stomach, and it wasn't the quiche or that fifth donut or anything like that, but something's going on and you're not overly comfortable sitting in this church service right now. See, if you cannot say with certainty that you are a believer, if that is something you want to affirm this morning, there is no time like the present. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. If this morning you want to reaffirm your relationship with Jesus Christ, if you want to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ and everything that goes with it, the resurrection life, the joy, the hope, the peace, the truth, the love, then do it. Make the choice and do it. How does that look? Is it official? No, it looks like somebody with an open heart going before God and saying, Jesus, I believe that you're the risen Savior, that you died for my sins. Lord, be the Lord of my life. Come into my heart. Do whatever it takes. I don't even know what to pray. I don't even know what to say. Jesus loves those kind of prayers. So I invite you to do that in the next few minutes. See, it's between you and God. But I will offer you this. If you want somebody to pray with you, grab me, grab Amy, grab one of our prayer team members, one of the ministry teams, and we would be honored to pray with you. Here's something else we need to consider. We are to take communion seriously, with reverence and in an appropriate way. As such, if you have anything you need to repent of this morning, you need to take care of that before we take communion. How does that look? Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me of this, 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 and this, and all the other things I don't even know about, because I want to take communion in a worthy manner. I don't want anything between you and me, Jesus, when we celebrate this communion. Again, grab me, grab Amy, grab one of the prayer ministry teams if you need prayer. Worship team, if you guys would come up. And we're gonna enter back into worship because we love worship here. When you receive the elements, that's the bread and the juice, when you receive those, please hold on to them. Take them back to your seats. Pray, worship, ask forgiveness. If there's somebody in here you need forgiveness from, forgive somebody if you need to do that, whatever it is. Hold on to them, and then we will all come back together. And I will lead you in the communion portion of this service as the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's now in Him. Now in Him that we live. Here's the thing right now. See, the enemy likes to come in portions like this. It's times like this and try to convince you that you're not worthy. But because the tomb is empty, because Jesus hung on the cross, through Him you are worthy. So right now, don't let distraction come in. There's all sorts of distractions that love to come in and cause our eyes to look somewhere else. It's the world we live in. It's the enemy of, it's the tactic of the enemy. But stay focused on the cross. Stay focused on the life of Christ. Romans 8:11. Is the eternal promise of hope to each one of us. It says this, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. See, when we come to Jesus and we desire and we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, what He does is He puts the Holy Spirit in you. Holy Spirit, that used to only live at the temple. It was there at the temple. But because of the new covenant that we live in, we become the temple of God. The Holy Spirit is within us. It's a mobile temple. It's a temple that can walk these streets. It's a temple that we can take into our workplace. It's a temple that we take to our campuses, our neighborhoods, our own families. Resurrection Sunday. What a wonderful day. See, today is a day we are to celebrate the risen Messiah, Jesus Christ. In so doing, we acknowledge that Jesus of Nazareth was fully man while remaining fully God as He walked this earth. We are to recognize that Jesus died by crucifixion upon the cross. We are to admit that it is His death and only His death that allows reconciliation and redemption with the Father. We are to proclaim that 3 days later, upon conquering death, Jesus rose to life in His brilliant resurrection. We are to live confidently that every born-again believer will live in eternity with Christ. And we are to be looking and expecting and anticipating the day of His return, where the church, the body of believers, will be caught up with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul guides us in this action of communion, because it's very much a choice. It's very much an action. It's symbolism. Communion isn't required for salvation. Rather, communion is a celebration and a testament to what Jesus has already done. Paul says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Go ahead and take your bread. Hold your bread. Hold it high. Father, we thank you once again that you sent your Son to walk this earth, to teach, to be an example. But Lord God, we also thank you that he took our transgressions, that he was bruised for our iniquities, that he died upon the cross. And with this bread, we remember, Father, your sacrifice of your Son. And Jesus, we look to your sacrifice and we thank you that nothing distracted you, that you followed through, and we can have life today because it started with that crucifixion. Go ahead and take your breath. Now we take this cup. It's grape juice. Who cares? It's a symbol. It's not about what's in this cup. It's what's in my heart. In my heart, I believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood for me. In my heart, I believe that he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose again. And I believe that 40 days later, he ascended back into the heavenly realm with his Father. And I believe in my heart that Jesus is returning for his church. I believe those things. And I would encourage each person that is in here this morning to question everything that I just said. Question it at all. Look it up in the Bible. Because here's the deal. My God's not afraid of questions, and my God's not afraid of the truth. So no matter what you're thinking right now, no matter what maybe you're used to, search the scriptures and see the truth of God. So Jesus, we proclaim this cup until your return. Go ahead and take your juice. Father, victory came. The new covenant was ushered in. We live in the church age, and what a wonderful time it is. But Lord God, let us be about your business, knowing that the church age has an expiration date. It has an ending. And as we look for your glorious return, let us keep focused on you, your body, your scriptures, and our relationship with you. Jesus, we pray this once again in your name. And everyone said, I invite everyone back next Sunday, and we're going to end with one last song.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.